curbside prophet with my hand in my pocket, and I'm waiting for my rocket to come. I'm just a curbside prophet with my hand in my pocket.
Hey, welcome to the post-bat mitzvah edition of Life of Ben. You've made it home with us here today, and you heard right. It's post-bat mitzvah. That means Hannah, you made it. Congratulations. The bat mitzvah's done. You did a fantastic job. And to Libby, take a deep breath, a sigh of relief, sit back and relax, because you made it through. I'm not sure who's more excited to have it over, Hannah or Libby. The planning after months and months is finished. The party's done. The months and months of practice is finished. What will you do with all that free time? You know, the bat mitzvah was wonderful, and Hannah did a fantastic job. But even more than that, it was just fun to be out there with family and be together for something fun and happy and exciting. Not often we have everybody like that together in one place. And Hannah, thanks for bringing us all together. What a great time it was. Had such a good time with Janet and Mom and Libby and Hannah and Jess and Jeff and the cousins and everybody. Was wonderful. And Libby has fantastic friends who pitched in and helped. The only thing I felt badly about was not staying at Janet and Zoe's when they had planned for us. But it was fun to stay at Libby's house. So Janet and Zoe, if you are listening out there in Life of Ben land, thank you so much. We appreciate you preparing for us. And Sean and I are sorry that we didn't actually stay there. It would have been a great time. Let me share just a couple things from the bat mitzvah that you may or may not have noticed. First of all, you remember my wonderful sister Libby, who you heard on the episode a couple weeks ago, and she went on and on about her trip to the dentist, and I had to steal the microphone back from her and take over control of my own show, because she went on for about 20 minutes, and it was a wonderful story, but I was starting to think it was called the Life of Libby Show. Anyways, that same sister who went on and on shushed me during the bat mitzvah. Yes, I know. Me! How could she shush me? I don't go on and on. I don't know what I was talking about. But anyways, I was talking with my mom, and we grew up in a congregation where if you wanted to say a little something during the service, you said a little something during the service, and I was talking quietly, at least I thought I was, and she shushed me. I'm sure whatever I was saying to Grandma M was really important at the time, and we were laughing a little bit, and I think we were embarrassing her. It's not like Hannah was up there doing her haftorah or anything like that. The rabbi was doing his thing. Maybe it had something to do with the fact that we were sitting in the front row talking while the rabbi was performing the service. I don't know, but I couldn't believe I got shushed. Also during the service and before the service, have you noticed when people put on a tallis, which you have to wear in order to go up and have an aliyah, you have to have a tallis on, and if you're at the service, you saw the rabbi take off his tallis and put it over the shoulders of someone else who wasn't wearing theirs. They probably didn't have one when they came up for their aliyah. So you have to have one on. If you've seen people who know what they're doing put one on, they hold in front of them with two sides together in front of them, and they say a prayer of some type. They kiss the ends and then put it up over their shoulders. Well, I went to Jeff, who's supposed to know everything, and I asked him, well, what's the prayer? Because I wanted to learn it. I wanted to know what to say, so I put it on correctly. And you know what? He didn't know. He said, you know, I think they make it up. So I decided I'd do that, and I said the only prayer I really know, Baruch Atadnai Eloheinu Melech Halom, and then I decided to personalize it, so I added on to that, I hope the food's good. And you know what? The food was wonderful. So my prayer worked, and I'm going to say that same prayer every time I put my tallis on, Baruch Atadnai Eloheinu Melech Halom, I hope the food's good, because whew, someone must have been listening. Did you have the kugel? Afterwards, the kugel was fantastic. Libby made the kugel, and it was my mom's recipe, which probably means it was my grandmother's recipe, and it got passed down, and it was wonderful. Hopefully, it'll become Hannah's recipe sometime. You know, though, sometimes when recipes get passed on from generation to generation, they don't always come out right. Janet was telling me a story about how she got a recipe for chicken soup from either her mother or grandmother, I don't remember which it was, and it just didn't come out right. It didn't taste as good as her mother's. And she got the recipe from an in-law, which was basically the same recipe, except it had a little bit of sugar into it. when she added the sugar in, it tasted perfect. And when she served that to her mother, grandmother, she said, "Well, where'd you get this recipe?" She had intentionally left the sugar out of the recipe because she didn't want Janet's chicken soup to be as good as hers. So hey, don't do that. If you're passing down a recipe, pass it down correctly, because it may go on generations and generations. You want it to be good. You want it to be right. You never know. Someday it might just end up on the table at a bat mitzvah. Pass it down. Another thing you may not have known from the weekend, Jacob and I were out playing ball one evening, and we had this flat basketball. It wouldn't even bounce. You had to throw it like the Hulk down the ground to get it bounced back up again. We took this down to the park to shoot some baskets, and there were too many people down there. There were some people playing ball and some people just hanging out, and Jake and I decided we didn't want to play basketball in front of everybody with a flat basketball. We were a little embarrassed by that, chickens. So we came back to Libby's, and we were playing football in the backyard. There's also this rubber ball back there that we were kicking around playing a little soccer with. He was testing his goalie skills, and of course, he was stopping all my kicks. But anyways, one of my kicks, yeah, mine, I admit it, went over the fence. Over the fence. So I peeked my head up over the fence, stood up a little bit taller on top of something, looked over, and there it was behind someone's garage in the neighbors at Libby's house. I don't know who they are. And we didn't tell Libby. And we left it and went inside. And how embarrassing is that? Well, the good thing about it is when I went back out the next day, the ball was back in the yard. So, someone tossed it back over. That makes me think it isn't the first time it's happened. I tried to call Hannah last night to see if she had any light to shed upon us here about the bat mitzvah and how the weekend went, and wanted her to be part of Life of Ben, but I couldn't get her at home. So, maybe I'll try her again another time, but we'll just have to go Hannah-less tonight. If you happen to be about 35 years old or over and saw the cover art on today's episode, you probably recognized Mr. Peabody and Sherman, and they were inside the Way Back Machine, which takes them back in time to important events where they witness history firsthand and fix whatever's going wrong in history. Well, I joined Mr. Peabody and Sherman this week, at least I felt like I did, because I had a way back experience of my own over the last week or so when I had three different people, which made me just go, "Whoa, I forgot about that person," contact me via Facebook or some such fiddle-faddle as that. And I just couldn't believe it. Took me back. First one happened when I had a message, when I plugged my name in once to one of those reunion.com things. I never joined it, but I put my name in it. And I had a message from someone named Brian Crown last week. And it said, "I think you're the Ben I played Little League Baseball with." I was like, "Oh my goodness." I remember Brian Crown. He played third base when I was maybe 9, 10, 11 years old. We had Dennis Forback at first base. I was at second base. Ken Spitzley, who you've heard on this program, at least one of his messages, at shortstop. And Brian was at third base. We played for the Lansing Sashendor Beavers. There are other incarnations of the team, but that's the one I remember the best. The Lansing Sashendor Beavers. Boy, it would be complete if I could hear from Todd Hampton and Mike Hampton and some others who played on that team who have lost touch with over the times. It's a lot of fun. You know, it's pretty amazing to see where life has taken people. It was just amazing. Brought back a lot of memories. I'd like to contact him, but I'm not a member of the reunion.com, and so I wasn't able to return his message, and I haven't been successful finding him other than that. So I might just join it just so I can find out what he's doing, where he is, and where life's taken him. My second whoa in the Way Back Machine came on Facebook when I had a message from Kristen Grove, who has a last name now different than that, Kristen Grove Foster. When I saw the message on Facebook, I wasn't sure at first who it is, because Rachel has a friend named Kristen Foster, but then the middle name was Grove, and it took me a while to put it together. And she was another one, a friend of Libby's from high school and elementary school and junior high, and I remember her sister Ann well, and had a couple correspondences with her. It's fun to touch in again. And my third trip in the Way Back Machine, and the one that knocked me over the most, was a message on Facebook from Christy Dunn. I'll pause for those of you who are my age and have known me since elementary school to see if that name registers at all. Christy Dunn. The same Christy Dunn who we went to math competitions together, we did gymnastics on the playground together, we were often chosen about the same time in all the sporting events. She was quite the athlete back then. I don't know if she still is or not, but I had a message from her asking, are you the same person who I used to do tumbling with out on the playground at Verlinden? And I said, oh man. Now, the thing you may not know, and Christy may not know unless she's listening to this right now, is back in 6th and 7th grade, I had a huge crush on Christy Dunn. I don't think she ever knew that, maybe, who knows. But it's funny, 30 years later, to come back and say hi to these people. It's great to touch, and it's easy to lose track, and it's quite fun to gain it back again. Rachel just told me she has 80 days left of school this year. 80 days. First of all, I can't believe she went and counted them all. And second of all, I can't believe there's only 80 days of school until I have a graduated senior. It's pretty amazing. I just can't believe it. That must mean I'm getting way, way older than I think I am. Who knows? Maybe she's awfully young to be graduating. That could be it. Well, she's going off in a couple weeks for another visit to OU, and this one's for accepted students. It doesn't mean that's where she's going, but she's going to get another picture of the campus there and see how it feels and what she thinks, and I'm sure she'll have a wonderful time. Amelia might be going with her. Don't know about that for sure. This weekend, we're all going to be heading off to Columbus, where we will be attending the Michigan State versus Ohio State basketball game. We'll be cheering the Spartans on in person. Hopefully they have a better time than they had yesterday when they lost at home to Northwestern. I watched the game on TV, and Northwestern just played really good defense. They shut the Spartans down, and they had a hard time passing around the long arms and jumping players, and they had too many turnovers, and you can't afford that. You're not going to win a lot of games with a lot of turnovers. But a better games coming up this Saturday, because we'll be there and the Spartans won't let us down. Rachel will have a heart attack. I thought she was going to tear my throat out today when I saw her and said, Dad, they lost! She about hyperventilated and passed out, but she's over it now and feeling better. Also on Saturday, Sean and I are bowling in a tournament where the proceeds are going to something or other. I'm not sure. It could be a breast cancer fundraiser, maybe it's a toenail fungus fundraiser, I don't remember what it is, but a couple of his friends from work are bowling in this tournament, and we're looking for another twosome to make a foursome, and they asked Sean, and Sean said, sure we will. So we have a uniform we have to wear on Saturday, and uniform I think is jeans, a long sleeve white shirt, a tie, a funny tie, and a headband. First of all, I don't have any headbands. I've never worn headbands. I never liked wearing headbands, and I complained and guffawed about that, but I didn't win. I lost. I'm going to be wearing a headband. I am providing ties for everybody. I gave Sean my whole stack of Mickey Mouse ties and Daffy Duck ties and Garfield ties and this tie and that tie and every tie I had that was even remotely fun, and he took those to work for them to choose between, and I don't know what they'll be wearing, but we'll be having a good time. Usually when I bowl around to 120, 130, so hopefully I can do that, but I don't bowl very often. I'll just try not to get gutter balls. We'll see. My main goal is to beat Sean. Whatever he has, I need to have more. I remember you back, since we were talking about the Wayback Machine in elementary school, I used to bowl with my elementary school, and we would walk right to the West Lawn Lanes, which is just two blocks from school, and I would average about a 120 there, and it's pretty amazing that over 30 years I haven't improved from that. Oh well, we'll see. Maybe we'll. It'll be a fun time. We have bowling at noon, basketball at 3:45. It's going to be a busy Sunday because both those things are going on. It'll be a good time. I'll let you know how we do. Well, last episode, we didn't take the time to share any emails, so you know what that means.
email. I've got email. I've got email. Please read it now.
Well, we had a couple messages related to Jacob's ping pong game. If you remember, Jacob was trying to twist the rules a little bit so that he could win the game, or maybe I was twisting the rules a little bit. I don't remember which it was, but we had a couple of people respond about that. The first one came from Ken, and I'm not going to read the whole email because it's a little bit about Facebook and the beautiful family I have in my pictures there, but he goes on to say, I just listened to your latest episode, and I really enjoyed it. Sounds as if Jacob's having a terrific year in basketball, and congratulations to Rachel with her being nominated for Student Athlete of the Year. Tell her that I wish her good luck. I'll need a little more information on the ping pong and Jacob having to win. At present, it does not seem to be that Jacob needs to win everything. It seems that he may have gotten the better of you, and someone did not like it. Actually, I had to say from my past history as a youth and hating to lose. Sorry, Jacob, but I believe your dad is correct in that you lost the point. Also, do not worry about him growing out of it. I seem to have. Although, I do not like to lose, but I've learned to accept it when I do not win. I think I've only lost maybe twice in my life. Hey, if you can't win, then change the rules, even if in the middle of a game. Just kidding. I thought you might get a good laugh out of that. In all honesty, I do not like to lose, but it's not the same win at all cost type attitudes. With age does come wisdom. I have to run. Logan needs to work on a report for school and needs the computer. Chat with you later. Ken. Well, Ken, for those of you who remember Ken, he was pretty competitive in his youth. We played basketball together. We played baseball together. We played all sorts of different things, and he did like to win. Our next email comes from the state of New York, and at the keyboard in Upper State New York was Fran, and she said, Hi, Ben. I was finally able to hear your podcast. For some reason, my computer wouldn't play them before. Maybe it was censoring you. Go figure. I have a very discriminating computer. Good news about Rachel and her college choices. She's an impressive young woman, so we're confident she'll do very well wherever she decides to go. And that deep-voiced boy didn't sound much like Jacob, and I could have sworn he was more than 5'1". And as to my New Year's resolutions, I was going to write them on a bill, but my wallet was empty. After Christmas, you know, there's very little money left around, not to mention the economic depression that's sucking our retirement money as I write. Talk about depressing. Anyway, I resolved to eat more candy. Yours is gone, so send more. Exercise less, sleep more, and generally ignore all the hoo-ha about health and nutrition. I'll report back how this approach is working in 2010 if I'm still alive. Sorry we won't see you in California. It just didn't work out for us. Love to everyone, and remind us of the August dates we should avoid at benediction. We need to get that on the calendar soon. Fran. Well, Fran, I'm glad to hear that you are making New Year's resolutions that can be kept. Not everybody's willing to do that. We have to travel up north to Lansing for our next email, and it comes from Sharon. And she wrote, Just for the record, I was waitlisted at U of M a bunch of decades ago. I was finally accepted, but I didn't go. I ended up going to University of Hawaii instead. Tell Rachel that life will be interesting no matter where she ends up. By the way, the dog had fascinating things to say. I think you should interview him regularly. Sharon. Well, thank you for the message, Sharon. And you know, sometimes I think Biscuit might just be the smart one in the family. Our final message comes from Sean in Columbus, just an hour away, and he wrote, Hi, Ben. It was really great hearing Zach on your show. I think it's awesome that you're expanding your guest list. Keep it up. I was writing to resolve your ping pong dispute with Jacob. Here are two of the rules from the USA Table Tennis Association. Leave it to Sean to actually look up the rules. Definition 2.5.7. A player strikes the ball if he touches it in play with his racket held in hand or with his racket held below the wrist. Rule 2.10.1.4. A player scores a point if the ball passes over his court or beyond his end line without touching his court after being struck by his opponent. So, by definition, If Jacob struck the ball with his racket hand below the wrist or the racket itself, he did indeed strike the ball. And by striking the ball and not hitting it on his opponent's side of the court, he did indeed give his opponent a point. Hopefully that was helpful. I'll see everyone in California, Sean. So, if I'm interpreting what Sean said correctly, it means I won that point. Which means, Jacob, you got to forfeit that game and admit that I won. How's that? All right. Thanks, everybody, for writing in. We're going to head out of here with a little bit of Jason Mraz with a song that Rachel selected titled Wordplay. Enjoy your evenings. Be good.
I've been all around the world, I've been a new sensation, but it doesn't really matter in this generation. The sophomore slump is an uphill battle, and someone said that ain't my scene, cause they need a new song like a new religion, music for the television. I can't do the long division, someone do the math, but the record label puts me on the shelf up in the freezer. Gotta find another way to live the life of leisure, so I drop my top, mix and I mingle. Is everybody ready for the single? And it goes high. Listen closer to the verse I lay.
La, 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 la.
It's all about the wordplay.
La, 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 la.
The wonderful thing it does, because I am the wizard of oohs and ahs and fa la la. Yeah, the Mr. A to Z, they say I'm all about the wordplay. It's time to get ill, I got your remedy. For those who don't remember me, well, let me introduce you to my style. I try to keep a jumble in the lyrics, never mumble when the music's making people tongue-tied. You want a new song like a new religion, music for the television. I can't do the long division, someone do the math, for the people writing off like I'm a one-hit wonder. Gotta find another way to keep from going under. Pull out the stops, got your attention. I guess it's time again for me to mention the wordplay. Listen closer to the verse I lay.
La, 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 la.
It's all about the wordplay.
La, 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 la.
The wonderful thing it does, because I am the wizard of oohs and ahs and fa la la. Yeah, the Mr. A to Z, they say I'm all about the wordplay. I built the bridge across the stream of consciousness. It always seems to be a flowing, but I don't know which way my brain is going. All the rhyming and atomic is the melodies inside me. Dive into the deep end of my head. Are you listening to a single word I've said? La, 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 la. Listen closely to the words I say. La, 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 la. I'm sticking to the wordplay. The wonderful thing it does, because I am the wizard of oohs and ahs and fa la la's. Yeah, the